Welcome to you all to our worship. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whenever you're watching, welcome. Let us worship God. Let us pray. Ever-loving God, we come together to worship you, to praise you, to make these moments special as we set apart this time to worship you. We come, in a sense, together with the whole family of your children. We come to you, our eternally giving parent. We come seeking the wisdom to know your desire for us and to live as you have instructed. Today we cry out in amazement that you have called each one of us by name, that we are gathered up in your care and sustained in your love. We give thanks today and every day for all that we have and all that we are. Because you have blessed us, we seek to bless the world around us, to stand up to fear and hate and reject the evils of bigotry. As a community of Christians, we try to be faithful in our attempts to build your church, to be a community of pilgrims journeying together on the road towards the light of your glorious kingdom. In a world where rulers often seek to divide rather than build consensus, we ask for the confidence to show your love to all people. We ask for the boldness to be unbounded by earthly prejudice, to spread your love, to profess our faith without fear of ridicule. Help us to bear witness to the call to be in the world, while always seeking to bring your justice to it. All our prayers and this, our worship, we offer to you, our God of love. Amen.
Good morning. Today's reading is from Matthew. It's 22 verses 15 to 21. It's a question about paying taxes. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And then he said to them, "Whose head is this? And whose title?" And they answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and they went away. Amen.
Politics and religion, they say, are things not to talk about in polite company. Perhaps it's because they always beg the question, who holds the truth? My truth may not, of course, be your truth, because we have different values that define who we are and how we behave and interact with each other. But perhaps having lived the erroneous belief that faith and politics should not be talked about in public or talked about together, we have in fact just encouraged the inability to have a civil, coherent conversation about those things. Conservative or socialist, nationalist or unionist, Democrat or Republican, literalist or liberal, different fundamental values and beliefs which have shaped humanity through the generations. For the faithful Jew of Jesus' day, the question of politics and the practice of faith went hand in hand. And many would say that this is as true in our time. Specifically for the Jews who questioned Jesus, the focus of attention was on their relationship with their Roman landlords. For some, the Torah, the God-given law, was without question the only rule of law and life, and particularly the version of Torah as prescribed by the scribes and Pharisees. These leaders kept developing God's law and defining law more and more, initially as a way of clarifying the law in particular circumstances. But as is often the way, they could be accused of overcomplicating things. Jesus is being invited to critique their work. The questioners are out to entrap him, waiting for him to damage his credibility in the face of Jewish law, to give them reason to accuse him of downright rebellion. But here in this encounter, Jesus is more circumspect than we see him in other conversations. If the prosecuting Pharisees were attempting to box Jesus in, then Jesus instead shows mastery in being able to slip away without creating cause for sentencing. In the subtlety of his words, he leaves them and the listener, us, plenty to ponder and to reflect upon. For the Pharisees, the Torah influenced their whole relationship with the Roman authority and civil law, including the question of, does the law of God permit you to pay your taxes? The Pharisees were rejecting Roman rule and Roman taxation, yet there were other Jews, the Herodians, who were supportive of taxation under Roman oppression. This faction perhaps recognised the good that could be done through a fair system of taxes that allowed for the betterment of society, or just wanted to keep in with the Romans in order to maintain their position in the power hierarchy. There's a common assumption that taxes imposed are a bad thing, but not everyone believed that. Maybe even Jesus, in his answer to the conundrum posed by his questioners, had a degree of sympathy with such a view. The question of taxes is, of course, as relevant in our own time, in our own societies, as it ever was. Without tax revenue, the furlough scheme, the job retention scheme, as a response to the world pandemic, would not have been possible. And it is inevitable that the economic cost of COVID-19 will need to be paid back through taxation for years to come. Taxation, then, is not just a question of moral integrity or religious interpretation. It's woven into the fabric of how societies work and is a huge factor in whether our societies work fairly or not. Although the Pharisees may well have had the motivation of entrapment at play in asking Jesus the question about taxes, we recognise that the theme of their conversation is a sincere one. For a people of faith, what relationship is to be encouraged within the society and civil authorities in which they live? Jesus, with delicate argument, leaves the Pharisees in no doubt about the interconnectedness of religion and civil life when he points out that the coins in their very own pockets portray the head of the Roman emperor. The two can never be separated. As people of faith, we are called not only to live in the world, but to influence it towards becoming a world of fairness and justice. What are the values that define us? Will we take time to reflect and to review? Are the kingdom values that Jesus taught part of our being and our acting? What are the values that we use as we challenge the world's unfair systems and seek to establish the society that God desires for the world and all its people? Amen.
For our prayer for others today, I'm going to use a hymn and just read it through really slowly. And if you stop and you have a think about each couple of lines, each verse, and add your own prayers into that. If you've got a copy of the hymn book, you could always go and have a look and then use it yourself during the week. So this is from Church Hymnary number 4. The number is 271. It's written by Anna Briggs, and it's from Wild Goose Productions, Publications. 271. Lord God, we lay our broken world in sorrow at your feet. Haunted by hunger, war and fear. Oppressed by power and hate. Here, human life seems less than profit, might and pride. Though to unite us all anew, you lived and loved and died. We bring our broken towns, our neighbours hurt and bruised. You show us how old pain and wounds for new life can be used. We bring our broken loves, friends parted, families torn. Then in your life and death we see that love must be reborn. We bring our broken selves, confused and closed and tired. Then through your gift of healing grace, new purpose is inspired. Come, Holy Spirit, on us breathe with life and strength anew. Find in us love and hope and trust and lift us up to you. Amen.
And in a spirit of prayer, we bring our offerings. We think of all that we have, all that we are, all that in God's goodness we are yet to be. Lord God, receive all our gifts, for we offer them to build up your church and your kingdom. And hear us as we bring all our praying together and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever. Amen.
Thank you.
Our worship has ended. And as we go our separate ways to whatever awaits us in the world, may we know of God's blessing from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with us, with all those we love, and those we should love today, tomorrow, throughout this week, and always. Amen.
Shine upon.